Welcome to the Investor Mama Podcast, Money Conversations with a Mom's Touch. Your host, Jen Narciso, interviews amazing guests each week to help you become educated, be inspired by other money stories, and stay motivated on your own wealth-building journey. No matter where you are financially, whether you're in debt or financially free, this podcast is for you. Now sit back and enjoy.
Welcome back to the Investor Mama Podcast, Money Conversations with a Mom's Touch. I'm your host, Jen Narciso. And on today's episode, I have the pleasure of bringing on Andy Hill from Marriage, Kids, and Money. It was so, so great having the pleasure to interview Andy. And if you don't know his podcast, you definitely, definitely need to check it out. He is amazing. And on today's episode, he talks about generational wealth and how he set his kids up for success. Before he gets into that, he shares how he and his wife came out of school with about $50,000 of debt. They got rid of it, paid off their house, and were millionaires by 30, which is just amazing. And from there, he's just catapulted his kids' savings, which is amazing. And he also gets open and honest and gets real with some of the difficulties he and his wife have had on their journey to financial independence. And so it's a really great episode. I'm excited for you to learn from him and for him to share. But before we dive into today's episode, just a couple of housekeeping items I wanted to share with you. First off, mid-January, we're going to be hitting our 100th episode, which is so amazing. I can't believe it's been 100 episodes. And so I'm going to be doing a mailbag episode answering questions. So if you have any questions or anything that you're not sure about or really anything, send me an email. I would really love to hear from you and I will answer that on that episode. And I've gotten some great questions so far. So please feel free to email me. You can email me at jen@investormama.com. And I would love to hear your questions. Also, I've got a lot of amazing feedback from so many of you. And thank you, first off, for reaching out. I do love hearing from you. So I've had multiple requests. A lot of moms out there really want to hear how other moms are budgeting and spending their money on a monthly basis. So if you are a mom and you are open to sharing your budget and where your money's going and kind of your thought process and some of the decisions you've made, I'd love to bring you on as a guest. If you're worried about your identity or you want to keep things private, that is totally amazing. We can do some editing or voiceovers so that we can disguise your voice and things like that. But I would really love to get a couple of examples and do a couple of episodes like this. So again, if you're open, I would love for you to come on. And if you don't mind, just be transparent with your own budget and how you've made some of the decisions. Maybe you send your kids to private school. Maybe you do homeschooling, whatever. The sky's the limit on how you spend your money. But I would love to interview you and get to really parse out for other moms out there. It would be super beneficial to hear how people spend. If you do, again, just email me, jen@investormama.com, and I'll bring you on the show. We could chat more. Also, one final announcement. I know the holidays are coming up in this time of year. People are always looking to create some extra income. If this is you, you can go to investormama.com/make money. It also helps support the show, but I have some great resources and courses that you can learn more about. Maybe you're looking to pivot and want to maybe get a full-time job that's flexible at home. You can check out the Salesforce Challenge. It was started by Jonathan Mendonza from the Choose a Fi Guys. I also have, if you're looking to maybe start your own Etsy business or want to help other businesses with Facebook ads, these are amazing courses that I have personally taken or know people who have taken and made money out of the gates. So I can highly recommend them. There's also a couple other resources on the page too. As the new year approaches, wants to get your financial house in order, there's the emergency binder where you can put all of your personal information, documents like your healthcare directives, wills, any of estate planning docs, information on your kids. In case, God forbid, something happens to you or your spouse, you are protected. Everything is in one organized spot. So definitely go to investormama.com/make money. And again, it also helps support the show. So it's a win-win. Now, without further ado, let's bring Andy onto the show. Andy, welcome. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me, Jen. I appreciate it.
Oh, I am so excited. I think this topic is so incredibly important. So I'm excited to dive right in. But before we do, why don't we just start really quickly with your background and your money story?
Yeah, sounds good. Well, I'm Andy Hill. I host a podcast called Marriage, Kids, and Money. It's focused on helping young families build wealth and happiness. I really kickstarted my money journey when I got married with my awesome wife, Nicole. We had really enjoyed our 20s quite a bit, you know, enjoying life, spending mostly all of our money. And then when we got together, we learned we were going to be parents soon. And something sort of clicked in my brain. It was like, okay, I'm not just living for myself and living for today. We're literally bringing a human into the world and we want to make sure that they have a great life. And we learned we're going to be parents to a daughter. And I'm like, hey, what can we do to just make sure our daughter Zoe just has a great life? So for me, that was looking at my own personal situation, being like, okay, well, I brought a lot of debt into our marriage here. And what can I do to help clean it up? So I focused with my wife and having a lot of conversations with her about, hey, what can we do to, you know, we used to just live on our own salaries. What can we do to maybe just spend one of our salaries and use the rest to try to build wealth? And that was sort of what kickstarted our wealth building journey together as a couple about 10 years ago. And we've been on a mission of improving our family's wealth. And then that's translated into how we can help our kids have a great future as well.
And you guys really hit the pavement hard. You guys were millionaires in your 30s, which is amazing, in less than 10 years. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, a big part of what we did, and we were privileged enough to have a good combined income over those 10 years. I think our average income was around $180,000 as a couple. So by, you know, getting together once a month to kind of look at those budgets for our budget party, and we would look over the numbers, have a little pizza, have a little wine, talk about our goals, we were able to do some of those important things of eliminating our debt. It was, you know, $30,000 of student loans that I had. She had a $20,000 car loan. So we paid that off in a year. We started investing for our daughter's future through a 529. We started investing for our future retirement through a lot of the workplace, you know, taxable, a tax advantage accounts like 401k, HSA, you know, and then we used an IRA. And it just started to compound. We had a good market for those 10 years. And then, yeah, we look back 10 years later and it was like, whoa, we just crossed over $1 million by eliminating our debt, paying off our mortgage, and then just investing for our future retirement in the stock market. A super boring stuff, like a paid off house and a fat retirement fund that we can't use for 20 years. But hey, that's what a millionaire is, I guess.
Yeah, which just brings up a good point. So now what is your current financial situation and are you accessing those funds? Like, I know you have marriage, kids, and money, but are you guys still working? Like, what is your current income structure look like?
Yeah, so during that time frame, we were both working in different aspects. You know, I worked as a corporate event marketing sales guy, essentially. So we would do, you know, conferences and trade shows and stuff like that. After I had kids and a wife that I wanted to be around more, traveling around the country and, you know, selling all sorts of stuff, it got really boring for me and I didn't want to do it anymore. So I'm like, okay, what can I do to transition out of that and then feel financially secure in order to do that? And Nicole had worked in digital marketing and advertising for a period of time. She did the stay-at-home mom thing for about 4 or 5 years. So over the 10 years, we did like the corporate grind. But then after we hit this milestone, we're like, well, we don't have to pay a mortgage anymore. We don't have any debts to pay. We live decently frugally. I mean, we probably spend between, you know, $60,000 a year where we live in Michigan. And we're like, okay, well, maybe this is a time where we can take some leaps and do some different things. So I decided to take a leap from my corporate career and start this digital business that I've been doing and go at it full time in early 2020. And that was a great idea because there was a pandemic just a couple months later, which made things a little difficult. But honestly, 2 years later, I'm still rocking it. I probably work 20, 25 hours a week on my digital business here. And we're able to make a decent enough income to pay for all of our expenses. Nicole decided to go back to school to be an esthetician because she sort of saw the same thing. It's like, well, I want to kind of do something new too. And
why not?
And she was sick of doing the advertising marketing thing too. And so she went back to school to become an esthetician. She graduated just like 3 weeks ago and she's on the job hunt right now looking for part-time work as an esthetician. So in this version of our life in our 40s, we really like part-time work, more time with our family, and not worrying as much about the big financial decisions that we need to make, like can we pay our mortgage and do we have enough saved for retirement? So that's our version of family financial independence.
I love it. And it's you did all the right things at the right time. So let's talk about generational wealth. What things do you have in place right now for your kids?
Yeah, so that's the exciting part. We've gotten to this point in our lives where we're like, okay, well, yeah, we could probably get a bigger house and more cars or whatever, you know, but it's like, well, what can we do to kind of help our kids to have some time freedom and some options when they are younger? So we hit this milestone of millionaires at 30. So now we're like, well, what can we do to help our kids? You know, maybe get it a little earlier and then being able to have some options on the type of work that they do instead of work that they have to do. So for us, the first thing that pops into our mind is just being able to help them to graduate college debt-free. You know, because this is something that's really hamstringing a lot of people in our country right now is just, yeah, maybe they get the college education, but they come out with $30,000, $100,000, and that just follows them for so long, so they can't build wealth. So we've started to invest in our daughter and our son's 529 college savings right when they were born. So now it's built up to this sort of $40,000, $50,000 level for each of them.
Wow.
And we feel with time and compound interest, we'll be able to get maybe half of their college paid for, and that's not going to pay for all of it, but things like scholarships, them working in high school and college, maybe even just doing community college for the first couple of years to get the same credits for half the price. We're going to figure out a way for them to graduate college student debt free. So that's the first thing that we're planning on doing to help them live this sort of life that maybe will help them become millionaires at an early age. Another thing that we're doing is helping to help them understand that hard work gets them a reward. So we're showing them the importance of helping out around the house by doing chores. And with those chores, they're able to get paid for their hard work. And then when they get that money, most of it goes to buying things that they want, you know, getting lots of slime in this house, lots of Roblox, lots of toys, things that they like to enjoy. And then 40% of it goes to these other buckets. So we've got 20% going to investing, 10% going to saving, and then another 10% going to giving. Because I feel like that sort of 60-40 split, this sort of 60-40 generational wealth plan, not only will make them happy and wealthy, but it'll also give them this giving heart that understands that when you have an abundance, it's important to give back as well. So we have a lot of conversations around giving in our house. And those conversations, I think, are the most inspiring for me to see them understand that they are in a position of privilege. And with that privilege, it's important to give back. And so we have a lot of conversations around that topic in our house.
I love that. And I love that you're doing, again, all the right things for your kids. With regards to the 529 plans, just, you don't have to go into too much specifics, but I'm just curious, what percentage of your portfolio are you kind of putting towards them versus your own? Because I often get asked, well, I'm still on my own journey for retirement, but I also know I really should be saving for my kids. So I guess my question to you is, you guys were very on target from a young age that you were able to reach your goals, that then it was easy decision to make to start investing for your kids. For someone who's not there yet, when would you recommend that they do start investing for their kids versus their own financial future?
Yeah, I would say, you know, it's really important to make sure that you're set for your retirement and your personal goals, even a high interest debt or savings in an emergency fund before you get into these things. Because building generational wealth is super exciting, especially when you think about the time, how time and compound interest can help hit those investing goals. But really, the last thing that you want to do to your kids is move back in with them. Yes. Because you don't have enough for retirement. So if you chime in and knock on their door when they're, you know, having kids or they've got three kids running around the house or dealing with teenagers, and you're like, hey, I ran out of money, can I stay at your place? That's not the type of generational wealth we want to build. So we want to make sure that we're set. We want to put on our own oxygen mask first, essentially, right? We want to make sure that we've eliminated all of our high interest debt. We want to make sure that we've got money set aside for emergencies. And yeah, that we're plugging away money in our retirement account so that when we get to that beautiful age of 60, 70, we're able to use that money and have it pay for our comfortable lifestyle. So I would say for us, at least, and this might be a bit extreme, is that we hit this Coast Fire number, which is essentially we had enough in our retirement accounts, our 401ks, our IRAs, our HSAs, that with time and compound interest, it's going to get us to the retirement goal that we need without any further contributions. Now, that's a bit extreme. We're still contributing to our retirement a little bit, but knowing that it's taken care of with time and compound interest over the next 20 years, that we can essentially just live off of the $60,000 to $70,000 that we need with inflation makes us feel really comfortable. And with that knowledge, then we know, okay, let's dump a little bit more into our kids' future so that they have just as bright of a future as we had.
That's amazing. I love that answer because I think it's so important. People want to jump for the next generation. Like you said, it's exciting and fun, but the worst thing you can do is be a burden on your kids when they're older too. So
absolutely.
But I also like to encourage, like, even if you set aside even like $25 a month for your kids, it's at least something, and letting time also do its work is also valuable because everyone can find $25 a month.
Exactly. And speaking of that, Jen, like this is a, I love these compound interest charts, and this is a fun one. Essentially, like if you were able to throw $100 a month into, call it a kid's brokerage account or UTMA until the kid turns 30, that essentially gets them a 20% down payment on $1 million house by the time they're 30. So if you can think about that, it's like, wow, okay, can I put away $100 per month? Or to your point, hey, $25, $50, and it's a quarter of that. That's a great leg up in buying real estate in the future. And we all know, as you know, Mr. Real Estate, that real estate is a major wealth builder for most millionaires out there. So if we're able to help our kids get a leg up with that 20% down payment, man, that's a really great way to build generational wealth. And it doesn't need to be a ton of money. Like you said, it could be $25 to $100 or whatever per month. For a long time, that could make a big, big difference. And eventually they take over the reins when they turn 22 and they get their job or whatever. It's like, okay, now you contribute to it and help you get to that spot.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. I didn't realize those numbers. So that's just like mind blowing.
It is.
Like, it's really a little bit. Yeah. And if you're a first time home buyer, you don't even need 20%. You can even do a 5% exactly. down and use the rest for other things, exactly. investments as well. Oh, yeah. That's awesome. So Andy, are you also doing anything else besides 529 plans for your kids?
Yeah, so right now we're doing it in three different areas because we feel like there's three big generational wealth goals. You know, we talked about real estate being a great way to build wealth. And whether that's your principal residence or like you did, where you've got a house hack opportunity, maybe the first house you buy is a house hack. That way your mortgage is covered. So you're able to buy that house and do that in your 20s. So investing with a kid's brokerage account, you know, UTMA, whatever we call it, custodial IRA. There's like a custodial brokerage. There's so many names for it. That's an option, or you can do that on your own brokerage and just have that as a gift for them. We also do, as we talked about, a 529 for college. So it's homeownership, college, and then the third one is their future retirement, right? So my kids help me with my small business as co-hosts, models. My daughter edits my videos for my short form social media channels. And I pay my kids through my business. And then with that money, we invest in a Roth IRA for them, a Roth IRA for kids. So that Roth IRA, the purpose of that is then retirement. So we've talked about investing now for a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old and then giving that 50 years of compound interest and time to grow.
Which is awesome.
That's a lot of money, right? So I mean, even if you can start small, you build this thing up to, let's call it $10,000 by the time they are 18 or 22. What a leg up that they have over everybody else at that point, just from some small amounts of money that you're able to do while they're young, and it can make a big, big difference. So those three goals, I feel like, are the main three goals that we're concentrating on: helping them to graduate college debt-free with a 529 and the other avenues we talked about, helping them with home ownership through a kids brokerage account, and then helping them to retire when they want to, you know, later on in life through a Roth IRA for kids.
Your kids are very, very blessed.
They've got a nerdy dad. That's really what they have. And then when they're teenagers, they're gonna probably not like the nerdy dad. So,
well, that brings up a good point, though. How are you teaching them about money, and how are you inspiring them so that they want to do this?
That's great. Yeah, I have sort of sneaky ways of doing it. So as far as giving, I like to do something every quarter we call the big give. So we collect all of their money that they have and their digital buckets from saving up for their giving. And we get together, I get them milkshakes, and then we sit down and we talk about what they're thankful for in their lives. And my son always seems to gravitate towards having a home and being able to have food and, you know, not ever having to worry about that. So he gives to charities for people who are homeless or people who don't have a place to live or people who are hungry. So he's given to Feeding America. He's given to Say Detroit here locally here. He's given to some local food banks here near where we live. my daughter has a heart for cats. She likes to give to kitties. So we give to cat shelters and things that she loves because we have cats in our lives and she wants to make sure that other kitties have a good home. So you kind of go towards where they are drawn and where their heart is. And then you have conversations. So we do that once a quarter called the Big Give. We give them milkshakes and draw them in with the, you know, with the milkshake and then have the expanding conversation about charity and giving. And then as far as concepts like, you know, earning money, we talked about having, you know, chores around the house that they contribute. They do two chores after school every day. They earn a dollar for every equivalent to their age. So my daughter gets 10 bucks because she's 10. My son gets $8 because he's 8. And then we use that money in that 60-40 plan. So they spend most of it and then they give, save, and invest the other pieces. As far as like bigger conversations around investing, I'm starting to sneak those in with conversations. I show them a compound interest calculator. I had a conversation with my daughter the other day showing her. I said, hey, you know, if you put in this amount of money, it's going to turn into hundreds of thousands of dollars in 50 years. And she's like, whoa. She's like, but 50 years is a really long time. What if we just do it for 2 years? And then I show her how compound interest and you know, time and compound interest doesn't really work in 2 years. She's like, oh, so at least she's getting it.
Yeah.
You know, she's impressed by the bigger number. But I mean, the concepts of patience and waiting for the wealth and waiting for the things, it's going to take some time. But I think if you just repeat these concepts and continue to talk to them, I'm hopeful that they'll make a difference in the long run. I know that it did for me as a kid with my parents.
Did your parents teach you these concepts too?
My mom was helped me to invest as a middle schooler in mutual funds and tech companies and things like that. And I learned a lot about diversification and individual stocks and things like that. Things that I'm looking back 20, 30 years later, I'm like, wow, I learned a lot about the tech bubble bursting, investing in the 90s, and then it bursting in 2000 and being like, why is my account continuing to go down? You know, so I learned about the importance of diversifying outside of just one sector and amongst many stocks and the importance of that's really why I love index fund investing so much, is that because it really covers so many gamuts of different industries. And if one industry is hit, that's okay because it's going to come back. And I just love index fund investing because of that lesson that I've learned.
Can you just quickly just say what an index fund is? Index fund investing.
Yeah, sure. So an index fund is essentially a fund that mirrors an index. So an index that a lot of people maybe have heard of is the S&P 500. You hear that on the news. Hey, the S&P 500 went up. It's essentially the top 500 companies in the U.S. So like if you invest, let's say, and this is why I like index fund investing over individual stock investing. Let's say you buy a new stock, let's call it Rivian or something like that, because it seems really hot and it's going to go really well. And I bought an individual stock, right? Whatever happens with Rivian, it could go out of business. You know, it could die, essentially. It could go away. But if you buy an index fund, which is a collection of the 500 best companies always, even if one of those companies falls out of the index, you still own the best 500 companies. So that's why I like them, because essentially, it's self-cleansing. I heard this term from J.L. Collins when I interviewed him on my show. He's a great author. I would check out his book, Simple Path to Wealth. He used this term, self-cleansing. So when a company does not do well and they fall out of the index, they're out of the index, but you still own the 500 best companies. So whatever the next new best 500 companies are, you still own them. So that's why I like index fund investing, because it helps keep things simple. And it helps you to not stare at your account all day long and see if your stock has gone up or down. It just lets you relax a little bit more. It's a simple path to invest.
No, I love it, because so many people get overwhelmed when they think of investing, and it doesn't have to be. Maybe you're not optimizing your journey. You know, like maybe, yes, real estate is a great lever. Owning a business is a great lever, but it's not for everyone. And especially if you're a busy mom, just setting kind of and almost forgetting it is a very simple way to still reach your goals and not have to stress and at least know you're doing the right thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And in real estate, as you said, those three levers, I think those are the wealth builders. Real estate, owning your own small business, and investing in stocks is a great way to go.
Yeah. But to get started, it's very easy to open up a brokerage, throw some money in, buy some index funds, and just keep dollar cost averaging in. It's, you don't need to worry about tenants. You don't need to worry about websites and design and all those more tedious things that, again, may make you more money in the long run, but you can get started simply.
Yeah, the cost and the barrier to entry is so low. And especially today with the advances in fintech and things like that, how you can do this all quickly online. And there's sort of a battle between all of these brokerage firms to who's going to give you the lowest price possible. And it's great for the consumer. Yeah. So consumers, retail consumers, like retail investors like us are just are winning right now. And we just have to take advantage of it, especially, you know, when we're in a bear market. These are great times to buy so you can invest for long-term wealth.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. And one thing I would like to ask you, though, is kind of going back a little bit, is what was the hardest thing for you guys on your journey to financial independence?
I would say the hardest thing for me was, I guess, letting go of my ego a little bit and realizing that I married an awesome person that also has different perspectives than mine, and being kind and listening with an open ear to those perspectives. Because there were certain times where I got really excited, you know, hey, wow, I understand what net worth is. I understand that debt can be eliminated. I understand that we could be a millionaire in 10 years or quicker, you know, but I didn't listen as well as I probably could have to my wife's needs and the fact that, hey, yeah, that's really great to have a bunch of money at retirement, but it's also really great to enjoy our lives today too.
So I feel
like, yeah, I feel like I've learned to have more of a balance when it comes to, you know, saving and investing. Although our story probably sounds pretty, we were privileged enough to live on quite a bit of income. And I think people becoming millionaires in 10 years is a lot harder when you don't have a higher income. So when there were times that we felt like we were going a little bit heavy on the investing side of things, or we felt like we were feeling deprivation, I would dial things back. But it would take me a little while to realize that. I'm like, no, this is how it's done. I read a book and the book says this. And if we do this, then success. And she's like, it's not always a math problem, man. You know, it's like, there's a lot of realities of life. You know, we're in a busy time right now with two small kids. We need to make some time for some fun and enjoyment too. I'm like, well, yeah, I guess that's true. You know, so there were times that I'd forget that completely. And we went through marriage counseling at periods of time to help us to communicate better. Because when I was working, you know, 60 hours a week and then trying to figure out how to do a side hustle and just overloading and then leaving no time for my wife and I to communicate with two small children at home, our times for communication were in passing, and then sometimes they'd be a little fiery because they wouldn't be what I would want or what she would want. And that really forced us to say, okay, we need to dedicate some time to have better conversations. And so we met with a marriage counselor, and that's exactly what we got. We got dedicated time to talk to each other about what our goals are, what our fears are, what are things that are important to us individually, and then what are important to us as a couple. And that was honestly the best investment that we've ever made as a couple. And we've been a lot happier since those conversations. And sometimes I get goldfish brain and forget them. But most of the time, I remember the important lessons that we had. And I would highly recommend it for anybody who's having difficulty with speaking with their spouse, especially about intense conversations like money.
No, and thank you for sharing that. Because once I find that once kids come, like there's all this content out there about financial independence and all these things. But when you have, once you're married and have kids, it's a very just different and things change and you have to make sometimes more difficult decisions. What were some of the things that you did cut back or not cut back on in your case, I guess, so that you could have more enjoyment and freedom and presence with your family?
Yeah. I mean, I'll start from the beginning. In the beginning, we talked about cutting things back. It was like, hey, maybe we don't go out as much. Maybe we don't do as much dinners. And I think when Nicole was pregnant, I was like, yeah, sure. I don't want to go out to some bar or whatever anymore. That's where a lot of our money was going, to restaurants and bars and things like that. But then as we had our first child and our second child, you know, we would talk about things like, okay, well, you know what, maybe I could, in order for us to invest in real estate quicker, Nicole, we should probably get rid of this cleaning lady that we have, because, you know, that's just expensive and a waste of money. That didn't go well.
Yeah,
you know,
I was gonna say.
So, you know, for me, going to the office all day, being like, okay, well, you know, hey, it's probably pretty easy to clean the house and take care of two kids. I'm like, oh man, if I ever wanted to get perspective, and which was good for me to do, I'd be like, okay, hey, go out of town for a week. And I remember at one point, our kids were 4 and 2 or something like that. And she went to Hawaii with one of her girlfriends. And I was home for a week with the kids. I'm like, wow, is this great perspective for me to get? This is really, really hard physically, emotionally. Yes. And you just are drained at the end of the day. The last thing you want to do is go around and clean the house. So a little bit of a nice treat, a luxury treat, is to have somebody come in and you don't have to do it yourself. So things like that, Jen, where it was like I had a different perspective of what was needed around the house, and then I wasn't listening. And so we kept some things like that.
No, that's great. And for those moms out there listening, like, maybe that's not a bad idea to do with your husbands. Have them switch around a little bit, see what's really important as together.
Perspective is so beautiful, man. It was it's one of those things where you're like, okay, wow, I get it now. And it's hard to just say, hard to verbalize it unless you're actually in the shoes. So I'd recommend that.
No, that's right. And then is there anything now that you have changed that you also are enjoying more as well, besides the cleaning person?
Oh yeah. I mean, we've definitely awarded ourselves more time to just enjoy life. I mean, both of us are working less and enjoying more. The things that I like to splurge on with regard to money are kids' activities, both for I loved being a kid and playing sports and having different things to do. That was very enriching for my life. So I got sort of living vicariously through them a little bit with soccer and, you know, after school activities. But also, I just love it. I love watching them. It makes me feel good. It makes them feel good. So that's just sort of a guilty pleasure of mine. And it also gives them something to do besides, you know, my son likes to punch me in the back at home a lot. So I'm like, okay, let's give them an outlet to go, you know, be wild somewhere else. Those are the things that I like to spend extra money on. Nicole loves home decor, making our home feel like a really nice place to live. I honestly feel like I live in a palace the way that she set things up. She's got a really great eye for organization and design. And so that's where a lot of her extra spending goes. And, you know, while I might think of like, oh, well, that's not a good way of using money, or it's not something I would do, it doesn't matter. It's what she would like to do with money. And that's what's important. So I think having that perspective and being able to have a listening ear about what's important to your spouse is important.
I love it. Well, Andy, this has been awesome. At this point in the show, I'd love to transition into our lightning round. Are you ready?
Sounds good. Yeah, I'm down.
All right, cool. Question number one is, what is one fun fact about you that not many people know?
Ooh, well, I used to be in a cover band before I met my wife. It was called Vermont Response. We did a bunch of 80s, 90s, 70s covers, and it was probably one of the coolest things I've ever done in my whole life. We only played 3 live gigs, and they were at dirty, dirty bars outside of Detroit, and it was so much fun. The first gig we got was on a Wednesday night at 1:30 in the morning. That was like the time slot that they gave us, and we ended up getting like 30 people to show up, and they're like, you can come anytime you want. So that's a cool fact that I don't really share with a lot of people.
Do you have any recordings of this that people can listen to or access?
I think I do. I might send them to you. They might. Is MySpace still around? I don't know if MySpace is still around. I'm probably on there. I don't know if it's still on there.
You might need to update a little bit more.
I think so. Yeah, it probably died. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I would definitely love to share if you have them. That would be really cool.
I'll take a look. I'll hunt for you.
All right, awesome. Well, question number two is, who inspires you the most and why?
Oh, who inspires me the most and why? I would say my wife. That's going to be a little cheesy and romantic, but honestly, I love how she fights for her family. I love how she reinvents herself. I love how she is fun and funny, and I just want to be able to spend more time with her, and I'm excited for that in the next couple of decades of her life.
Oh, that's awesome. Very nice. Well, question number three is, what books are you reading now or have read and love and would recommend?
Ooh. Recently, I read a book called Do Nothing by Celeste Headlee. And for somebody who worked so hard for so long and is very interested in our hustle and grind culture, it was a very big eye-opener for me. It kind of gives you the history of our country and how we went from a society that actually enjoyed relaxation and time off. And when we worked really hard, we would take 2 weeks off for harvest celebration to when we went through the industrial age and it was more, 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 and how we haven't recovered from that. So I think it's an eye-opening book that gives you some tangible takeaways on how you can make time to do nothing. And I really highly recommend that book.
Oh, that's awesome. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. And then, Andy, the final question is, what is one actionable tip or piece of advice that you could tell our moms out there to help them on their own financial independence journey?
Oh, I would say if you are in a relationship and you've got a spouse that cares about you, I would say take some time to sit down and dream with them. Just sit with them and have some big conversations about are we headed in the direction that we want to be in? Are we doing things that will help our family go where we want to go? Are you working in a job that you like? Are you spending most of the hours in your day right now doing things that make you happy? And if not, what can we do to take the tangible steps to get where we want to go? And it might not be tomorrow, but it sure could be in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. Your whole life could look completely different. And what would that do for our family? What would that do for our generational wealth opportunities for our kids? And I think that's where moves like this come from big conversations. So I think if you're able to have fun, big conversations without like, oh, well, that's not possible, or we can't do that. Just think big, you know, and maybe that comes with a glass of wine or something like that just to loosen things up. But yeah, think big and have some fun with your spouse. That's probably why you guys got together in the first place.
I love it. And Andy, this has been so much fun. How can my listeners connect with you further?
Yeah, I have a podcast too, Jen. Thank you so much for having me on. It's called Marriage, Kids, and Money. If you like podcasts, you can type in Marriage, Kids, and Money in your favorite podcast player. If you like reading and watching, you can go to marriagekidsandmoney.com. You can read my blog and watch some YouTube videos there too. But that would be great. Thank you.
Thank you so much. This has been great. And I'll put links to all of your content in the show notes.
Thank you so much, Jen. I appreciate it.
Alrighty, that wraps up another amazing episode of the Investor Mama podcast. I hope you enjoyed today's episode with Andy. Wasn't he great and the pillars he laid out? It's so cool just to hear. And now I know he and his wife have done some amazing things financially, and they're able to put this infrastructure, I should say, in place for his kids, so that they have their Roth IRAs set, they have their college set, they have their first house buying. But it's just so cool to hear what other people are doing and their strategies for their kids to really set them up for success out of the gates. So it's amazing, and I hope you learned a lot. And if you did enjoy today's show along with my other content, please go on the platform that you are listening to and subscribe. Also, leave a rating and written review. It really lets the providers know you're finding value with my content. And also, feel free to share on social media. I'd love to get more listeners to the show, so thank you in advance. And don't forget, if you or anyone you know is looking to make some extra income this holiday season, just go to investormama.com/make money, and there's some great courses on there. And just so you know, it also helps support the show, so it's a win-win, and you can check out some cool resources on there. So again, that's investormama.com/make money. All right, this is Investor Mama. I will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Investor Mama podcast. If you like today's episode, please support us by clicking subscribe on the platform you are currently listening to, leaving a comment or awesome review, and spreading the wealth and sharing this podcast with friends and family or on social media. Don't forget to check out investormama.com to connect with our community and sign up for our email. Stay tuned for next week's episode.